This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Keon Coleman. 13 games for the rookie. 57 targets, 29 receptions, 556 yards, four touchdowns. Just a 50.9% catch rate. That's not good, but he made a lot of big plays. 19.2 yards per reception. I will say this about his rookie season. I don't really think you can make the argument that he didn't get an opportunity. The guy played 73% of the snaps in the games played, so he certainly got a lot of reps out there. But man, there are some very concerning numbers, even from the counting stats perspective, but especially, Matt, my God, from the advanced numbers we're taking a look at here at RP.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, people that have followed Reception Perception from last year's draft class know how I feel about the Keon Coleman profile. You know, I did a whole solo breakdown on it on YouTube detailing guys who separate at his level, which was below the 35th percentile in success rate versus man and press coverage as prospects. All of those guys who have gone, and there's a decent bit of the, I would just say go watch the YouTube video. You know, number one, give me a subscribe over there.
Hey,
we're still rolling out our prospect videos you and I did from LA. They're getting some pretty good pop there. A Texans one just went up this morning. The Texans folks are really liking that one. The Packers fans don't like your take about Matthew Golden,
To be expected.
You know, hey, maybe we'll talk less about the Packers receivers.
We won't.
We definitely won't.
No.
We'll be talking about more about it.
For sure.
Way more. But again, so people can check that video out. All of the guys who fit in that bucket that Coleman fit in last year's draft class, all the guys who've gone on to be really high volume, successful, consistent starters in the NFL, they've all transitioned into being big slot receivers, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, if he's going to succeed with this profile, and to be clear, like, he had some positive marks as a prospect. He definitely was not a separator against press man, but he actually was a pretty decent zone beater. He was over 80%. We talk about it all the time. That's a benchmark we like to see for guys being over 80% success rate versus zone. I think he would probably have to transition into being kind of a jumbo slot receiver, which I think he could do, considering that he is someone who worked really well on some in-breaking routes in college, slant routes. His dig routes were okay. You know, I think that was where you'd probably want to see him win. Well, if Brandon Bean subscribes to the site, as we've joked about previously, he definitely did not read that profile, because right after the Bills drafted Keon Coleman, Brandon Bean said, "We see this guy as an X receiver," and they were true to their word. Coleman took 88.8% of his sampled snaps outside, rarely used in motion. He rarely traveled into the slot. Overall, not just in the game sampled for Reception Perception, he had a slot rate over 11% in just three games as a rookie. And one was that meaningless Week 18 game where he played with backups. You know, Josh Allen went out there for one ceremonial snap, I think, to keep his start streak alive, and then Mitch Trubisky played the rest of the way. That was actually Keon Coleman's one of his biggest games as a slot receiver. And then in the postseason, he went right back out to being an X receiver. Now, his snaps on the line of scrimmage did tick down slightly from the in-season rookie report, where he was at 78.4%, but he finished the season 76.3%. So 88% outside, 70%, 76% on the line of scrimmage. That's an X receiver, man. And like, we'll dive into some of these numbers here, but just bottom line, like, top of the whole thing, I just don't see Keon Coleman being a high volume, consistent starter in this role in the NFL.
I mean, he just wasn't. You talk about high volume, 57 targets across 13 games. My God, that is just not a lot of usage. And by the way, and it's not as if in the playoffs this guy did very much, right? Exactly one pass caught in each of Buffalo's three playoff games, 5 yards, 5 yards, and 12 yards respectively. That's not good. You talk about the usage, and we are the alignment bros out here, man. According to Next Gen Stats, 90% of his receptions came while lined up outside. All four of his touchdowns came while lined up outside. If we're trying to paint a rosier picture, because, I mean, heaven forbid, we definitely are not of the business of burying guys, right?
No.
There is a five-game stretch there between weeks 4 through 8 where he played a lot better, man. He averaged nearly 65 yards per game. He averaged 20 yards per reception. That put him on a 1,100-yard pace with two touchdowns in those five games. So those are strong marks. And he improves from a 51% catch rate and bumps it up to a 59% catch rate. So that was a very strong five-game stretch, I think, for Keon Coleman. And I think that's the kind of player I think Buffalo is hoping to find here. A guy that can crack, you know, 1,100 yards, give you 7 to 9 touchdowns, and be a big-time red zone threat. I just, man, the RP numbers don't look good. And I know you always say, got to look beyond the colors of these charts, but golly, I mean, dang near all red route tree too. That's tough.
Yeah, it is really tough. And I do think the route chart is instructive in this situation, because I just don't think there's a lot of separation with this guy. No. It's just tough to get away from that. Like, and I do think that, look, let me be clear. Like, if he sticks in this role and he sticks with these numbers, like, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be like a useless player in the NFL. I just think that you're not really maximizing his skill set. I think in order for him to be this guy, and by the way, like, I'm glad you highlighted that like section of the season there for him, because I think that that to me, you know, if you look at those games, that's right, or like week 7 or so, that's right around, mm-hmm. around when they traded for Amari Cooper. And I think that, you know, some of his best moments were when Cooper just got there, and I was like, okay, I think these guys are going to work pretty well in tandem. You know, is it completely like, okay, you know, Cooper was definitely still not like the guy they expected him to be, and like he was still getting a lot of work outside. But he was getting some snaps off the line of scrimmage, was Keon Coleman. You know, he was being used in more like of those in-breaking routes. And I think he actually is better after the catch than he gets credited for. The problem is just that you just rarely see him after the catch, because he's more often used as a vertical X receiver. Like, if you look at it, man, he averaged 7.4 yards after catch per reception last year. Again, I just feel like a lot of these numbers point to somebody that we should be. Again, maybe he's not a big slot receiver, because, like, here's the thing. Yeah. Like, they have Khalil Shakir. He's one of the best slot receivers in the league, and he's really good in that role. But I think there are ways that they can maximize him as an off-the-line-of-scrimmage player and, like, use him as an outside receiver, but he's in these, like, condensed formations. Maybe they'll do that now that Josh Palmer's in the mix, and, like, maybe they see Josh Palmer as what they were going to get out of Amari Cooper or something, because I have been visualizing it as – Josh Palmer is like a souped up version of Mac Hollins, which is a weird sentence to say, but maybe they view Palmer as a better X receiver candidate. And then that's going to allow them to detach Coleman from the formation and move him around a little bit, maybe. But I think if he's just this like boundary X receiver, he has to be a dominant contested catch ball winner, which, by the way, he wasn't last year. He had a 60% contested catch rate in the game sampled. You need that to be closer to like 75-80% if he's going to be a Mike Williams type.
Yep.
And I by the way, he still has to have a better than third percentile success rate versus man to be Mike Williams. Mike Williams was more like slightly below league average, not in the league basement in terms of separation for his best season. So, like, just a lot of work there. Honestly, like, the best examples of, because again, like I said, I don't think he's a useless player in this role. He's more of just like a splash big play guy who you're going to throw like tight coverage passes and he's going to hopefully dunk on people. Probably like the best examples of young players in this ballpark of success rate versus man, zone, and press that have gone on to hold down X receiver gigs and become solid starters for spurts are like Romeo Doubs and your boy Devontae Parker. Anytime we talk non-separation X receivers, we got to talk about Devontae Parker. But I actually think that Doubs comparison is pretty good. If you look at Doubs's rookie season, success rate versus man was 51.9%, 75.2% against zone, 49% against press. For Coleman, it was 50% against man, 74.7% against zone, and 47.9% against press. Like, maybe that's like the best case. I don't know. That's like, if we were trying to be rosy and optimistic about it, maybe that's like the best case for a guy like Keon Coleman, who certainly is bigger and theoretically, you know, has like more upside, I guess, than a guy like Doubs.
I guess. You threw You threw a lot of qualifiers out there. You know, we're talking about upside and played well in spurts. gee whiz. I'll say this about Keelan Coleman too. I like that you brought up the Devontae Parker stuff, but I thought Parker was a more fluid athlete. Obviously, they spent higher draft capital on Devontae Parker, who was a first round pick, versus Keon Coleman, who was a second round pick. But going back to draft capital, Matt, Buffalo fans can't be feeling great about you making these comparisons to Romeo Doubs, of all people. To a guy that they, you know, hitched a lot of draft capital to, a second round draft pick in Keon Coleman. That's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. But by the way, like, they took him at the very top of the second round. You know, Ladd McConkey was there. Like, there were some interesting players around that range. So,
McConkey, come on.
That one's tough, man. When you just look at Ladd McConkey's year one profile and Keon Coleman's year one profile, I'd be feeling uncomfortable if I was a Bills fan, for sure, because, man, Ladd would be like exactly what they need in that wide receiver room in terms of somebody to beat man coverage. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm really just kind of questioning the way the Bills are building this wide receiver room in the post Stephon Diggs era. I get it that, you know, things went kind of awry with Diggs down towards the end of it. And like, maybe they wanted to have more, you know, pieces than just one guy kind of is the number one, and we build everything around him. Now I almost feel like they have a lot of like useful pieces, because again, I think Keon Coleman can be useful in this role. And I think Khalil Shakir is hyper useful, and like maybe Palmer can be useful, and you know, they did add our boy Elijah Moore, who certainly could bring some of that separation against man coverage that they definitely need. But it's like, man, they really could use just like one perimeter player that can dominate targets and things like that. I just don't see Keon Coleman being that guy in this role. I think, and by the way, like let's just say, like, my theory on him being a big slot receiver is just a theory. Like, there's no guarantee that would work out for him either. It's just kind of we've never seen it. And just some of these numbers kind of indicate that that's maybe his best path. So yeah, I'm certainly not in the business of burying a guy after his first season, but I think that we come out of his year one in the NFL with more questions than answers. And I'm not really totally sure where he's going to go at this point in his career, but I'm just very skeptical of him becoming, like I said, a consistent high volume starter with these type of numbers, if he's going to stick out at X receiver.
I almost wonder if GM Brandon Bean and head coach Sean McDermott feel the same way after just 1 year. You know, the fact that they go out there and they go get Josh Palmer and they go get Elijah Moore, guys that can play outside, guys that have played outside in the NFL. By the way, they also signed Curtis Samuel. I know it didn't make a big impact last year, but can this guy get healthier? And when you start taking a look at Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Elijah Moore, Josh Palmer, I almost wonder if Brandon Bean's like, you know what, man, let's not hitch our wagon to this guy. Even though we spent a high second round draft pick on him, let's not hitch our wagon to this guy, and let's just try to maybe, you know, put him into more of a downfield splash play role, which, again, that is not what you want to see from your second round draft pick, but better than nothing.
Better than nothing.
better than nothing. Can I ask you one last thing?
Sure.
About Keon Coleman, and we'll move on. And I was fascinated by this. I would argue that I think Joe Brady and company, they need to find different ways to get this guy involved on offense. And I say that because, my God, his route participation, when you take a look at the RP data, it's ridiculous, man. Like 28% of his routes were the 9 route. Okay, that's fine. But then 17.7 was on the curls, and 25% of his routes were on the slant. That's 70% route participation on just 3 routes. 1% route participation on the comeback, 4.9 on the out route, 3.9 on the post. I mean, come on, man. Like, we got to get this guy, and I get it. I understand he's got this all red route tree other than the slant. I get it. But maybe it helps him get open on a few other routes if guys aren't just sitting on 3 dang routes all the time.
I mean, as you were talking about, I was like, well, which one do you want to see him run more posts where his success rate was 37.5%? Like, which pattern are you begging for him to run here? The 50% corner route? But no, I mean, yeah, his dig route success rate's like 68.8%. That's not like, if we were color shading the routes, that wouldn't be like the deepest red in the world, you know? But a lot of that stuff is again, because of how he's deployed. Like, if he's just the X receiver, he's going to be running a lot of these routes. Like, you think about Michael Thomas with this, because Joe Brady comes off the Saints tree. Their offense isn't perfectly New Orleans-esque or anything like that. But it's at least in the ballpark of that's kind of how they do things. The language is similar. The deployment of players is similar. And Michael Thomas had like kind of a bit of a static or a route tree, not this degree necessarily, but it was a lot of this. He didn't get the name Slant Boy for nothing. You know, he ran a lot of slants and curls and stuff like that shorter towards the line of scrimmage. And obviously that worked really well with Drew Brees as a quarterback, but that you also need your X receiver to threaten vertically. Like when Joe Brady was the Panthers offensive coordinator in 2020, this is kind of similar to what DJ Moore's route tree looked like. And I actually think that DJ Moore definitely needed a route tree change as well. Like, if you're just going to have that guy play X receiver, you want him run. Like, I think you should have more like intermediate inbreakers, deeper inbreakers and stuff like that. Some of this is just the system that they run, but I think a lot of this could be solved if he didn't just play that one position. But I think we also have to ask, and look, I don't know about this, but you know, did they trust Coleman to play multiple positions? Did they trust him to run more routes? Right. Like, how quickly did he catch on to things and all that? But yeah, I mean, just that 80% slant, like that 80% slant route success rate on 24.6% of his routes is really good.
I think
like that's the way I'd like to see him used more, is just getting the ball quickly on slants, because he can uncover pretty well there and he can run after the catch. I think that's like the way, if he's going to be an X receiver, let's get a lot of his targets there, which, come back to that Romeo Doubs comparison, I think that's really not after the catch, but he's made a lot of plays, at least last season he did, as like just a quick in breaking route player.